This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Good morning, Canada. Good morning, golfers, wherever you are across the country, as we still get towards the end of this dreaded winter here. It is March, first show of March, and that means we're getting a little bit closer for some parts of the country to get playing golf. I know on the West Coast they're probably already teeing it up. They always do all year long. But right here in Toronto, in the Golden Horseshoe, a frosty start to the day. Minus 11 right now with a wind chill, minus 19. I don't imagine the golf courses are going to be two pack today, but you can go indoors. You can hit indoors. You can hit it in the simulator, or you can watch golf, or you can listen to golf. And if you do that on Sirius XM, you can listen to this guy, Mark Sacchino, who is covering the World Golf Championship event, but you're doing it from a safe haven. Isn't that right?
My stomach, Bob, can't handle Mexico. We'll get into that a little bit. Yeah. I'm in the studio this week in D.C. doing a little analyst role, calling some golf off a monitor, a little hosting. It's weird. It's a weird gig. It's not normally what I do. You know, I'm normally out there with the equipment strapped to me following a group and just, you know, doing play-by-play. So this one's a little bit everything. But we're having fun. It's a good leaderboard. Should be an amazing weekend. But did I hear you say minus 19 in Toronto?
That's with the wind chill, yeah. I saw somewhere in Washington where you are that the cherry blossoms are out and everything. It's spring has sprung down there, hasn't it? I know here's a story I heard in Augusta. All the azaleas have already bloomed, or they're already blooming. There might not be any for the Masters this year. So I think spring has come early to that part of the country. I don't know what it is where you are right now.
You know, so it's funny you bring that up because I saw that story as well and then was looking at the forecast coming down here, trying to figure out, you know, what to pack for the four-day trip. And last week it was, to switch to Fahrenheit, last week it was 75 degrees Fahrenheit. They were golfing, a lot of blooming plants and trees, etc. My plane lands on Thursday morning, and the temperature proceeds to completely crash. It was 35 Fahrenheit yesterday, so only a couple degrees above freezing. And wind howling, and now I've completely packed the wrong way, and I'm freezing to death, so I'm glad I'm just sitting in the studio.
There you go. Well, they are hot in Mexico, where the World Golf Championships event is on, and like you said, a great leaderboard. I think they'd be pretty happy if this was the leaderboard at Augusta National in a few weeks' time. Lots of good names on that. We're going to have a little more in-depth look at that momentarily. David Rickman, who is the head of the rules for the RNA, I had a chance to chat with him. Of course, that's all in the news. Winners, weird, and what coming up, and all sorts of golf talk, and we're going to break down the championship. But let's get things started, Mark, with some news and headlines.
News and headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
Well, certainly some news of interest to every golfer out there this week when the RNA and the USJ announced the proposal for the new rule book. And there were some pretty wide-ranging and pretty drastic rules changes. I don't know about you, Mark, but I thought that I was sort of stunned when I heard about all these things, and some of them, even just the language they're written in. But amongst the rules that are being changed for the game of golf, no more penalty for a ball moving on the green when you don't cause it to move. You're allowed to move loose impediments in a hazard. You can drop the ball. When you take a drop, you can drop it from any height. You can even take a ball out of a bunker. You can lift it out of the bunker and drop it behind the bunker and charge yourself two shots if you want to do that. And the big one for me was the what I call the LPGA rule, no more lining up your players from behind. Were you struck by the wide-ranging nature of the changes, Mark?
Yeah, I was. I think overall, generally speaking, Bob, I think it's a positive, but I was surprised by the large sweep, and I'm looking forward to your interview because I haven't heard it yet, so I'm looking forward to that coming up on today's show. So there were some surprising ones to me. But there's also some surprising ones that are missing. The most obvious one, and I think Twitter lit up with this one as well, is if you're going to do such a wide sweep of the rules like you've suggested and outlined, you know, as of right now. Now, they're going to go through a period where they take feedback and make alterations, so these aren't exactly in stone yet before the next rule book's printed. So maybe this changes if there's enough feedback or enough complaining or enough interest. Maybe they'll revisit this, but we're still going to play a golf ball from a divot in a fairway. So that one has always been a bit of a head scratcher for me. And I know they're still looking at stroke and distance. I'm not too sure if out of bounds are going to survive this next rule book or not. They're still talking about that. But how did you feel? And were those the two that stood out to you that kind of were still not altered or left as is, or is there something else there that you think maybe they should have done?
Yeah, no, I think they got most of it. I do agree the ball and divot is the most the one that's getting the most attention. Especially to me would be a ball in a sand filled divot. If it's been repaired, then I think you should be able to get a lift. It's like ground under repair kind of deal. I know that was the big one for the PGA Tour players that I saw on Twitter and one that I exchanged a couple of texts with. And I think, you know, I think what they've done, though, is pretty good. They've put it into plain language, which is great. As you'll hear from when I talk to David Rickman, he sort of says one of his big frustrations was that he knows that people could actually, when they were in a situation, could go to the rule book, could find the right rule, and still get the wrong interpretation because of the way the language was written. The big one for me was I'm glad they've gotten away with letting players line up, have caddies line them up from behind, the LPGA rule, just because I think alignment is part of your golf swing. Why should you get help from someone outside of it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I agree. And I believe it was, I could be wrong on this, but I believe it was Brittany Lincecome that has already come out and said, well, I've got 40 seconds to hit a shot. I should be able to do whatever I want with that 40 seconds if it means my caddy's lining me up. Yeah. That basically tells me that she has no idea where her putter face is aiming if someone's not telling her. And I'm 100% with you. It's part of the game, being able to line up where you're going to hit it.
Well, it's as you say, it is part of the game. Anyway, far-reaching. We'll hear from David Rickman in the next segment. Also in the news, the Japan Olympics 2020, the Kasumigasaki Golf Club. How about that? I've been practicing that all night.
How good is that?
is a male-only golf club. It's supposed to be the site of the Olympics in 2020, and they're male-only, founded in 1929, kind of a private old boys club. It's the kind of posh club in Tokyo, and they're not going to. The IOC has said this week they will move the competition from this course unless they allow women. Now, women can't be full members, and they can't even play on Sundays at all. So, you think though maybe the IOC or the organizing committee would have thought of this and would have investigated this before they gave it to this golf club? Don't you think?
Well, this is. I was just going to ask you the mechanics in this because I am not a big IOC fan. You know, you take the IOC and FIFA and some boxing federations and put them in a swamp, they'd all be very comfortable with the surroundings. You know what I mean? Like, the fact that it's the IOC calling somebody out on this is part of the joke, as far as I'm concerned. But you're right. Like, where are they in the process? How does this get done? How does a course that have these rules and regulations in place get the nod to be, you know, a potential Olympic venue? That is absolutely ridiculous. It, you know, my position on this is the same as it's been for the British Open. If you're going to be a golf course that wants to have private rules that are, I guess for lack of a better term, archaic, behind the times, not
discriminatory.
Yeah, you know, like, if that's going to be your thing and you want to keep the club private, then stay private. Stay the hell out of the public eye. Do not host things like Olympics and British Opens and things of that nature. So my opinion is still the same there. So that hasn't changed. But what's the IOC doing? Just taking a dart and throwing it at a map and go, okay, we'll have it there. Like, there's no research done here whatsoever.
It just seems a little strange that they would go this far. Also in the news, Rory is back from his injury. He doesn't seem to be showing any signs of rust. We'll get into that momentarily. He did play golf with Donald Trump, and he's taking a little bit of flack, especially at home for it. What do you think? Should he have played golf with Donald Trump? I know Donald is a very contentious guy right now. They love him or they hate him down there.
Okay, Bob, I have such a huge problem with this. I got to tell you, we could do a whole show on this. Okay, I am so angry, and I'll tell you why. Mike, I think Rory handled this beautifully, and I have a problem with teams that don't go to the White House when they get invited after winning a championship and things like that. It just really bothers me. You can love Donald. You can hate Donald. I don't care what your political opinion is. The bottom line is, for the next 4 years, unless something unforeseen happens, he's the president of the United States. And I think Rory said it perfectly. Whether you agree with the man, whether you like the man, or whether you agree with his politics, you respect the office and you respect the country he represents. Rory lives in the U.S., makes a living in the U.S., has friends now, I'm sure, that are dear to him, that are American. You respect the office.
His fiance?
Yeah, Beyonce, exactly.
His fiance. He's getting married to an American, right?
Beyonce. I thought, yeah. Beyonce.
I think he does like Beyonce, too. I've heard that.
Right, her, too. But, you know, if, when the president of the United States invites you to play golf, you know, come on. If he had said no, he would have received just the amount of flack. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I was just going to say, it's a no-win situation for him, really, right?
But could you imagine if this was 4 years ago and maybe Rory didn't agree with Barack Obama's politics and turned down an invitation to play golf with Barack Obama? Oh, my Lord. He'd never see it up in the U.S. again.
There's a no-win. I think I would have faked the injury that was still going on and just said, maybe I can't play. I'd like to play, but I can't. But anyway, listen, we're going to get into the rules in just a minute. We've got David Rickman coming up. One last quick item. The PGA Championship and the PGA of America is now going to let golfers wear shorts. So hopefully that extends to broadcasters as well, Mark, so you can wear shorts when you get out there and cover some of the championships. But that's a good move. They're moving closer to kind of getting some 1970s dress codes whacked out. But we'll talk to David Rickman in a minute. He is the Director of Governance for the RNA, and we'll get the lowdown on the new rules when Golf Talk Canada comes back.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Bob Weeks in Toronto. Mark Zucchino on location covering the World Golf Championship event, although he's managed to avoid the Montezuma's Revenge in Mexico. He's doing it from a secret remote location that we can't tell you about. Let me ask you something. We're going to talk to David Rickman here, the RNA's rules guru. When you go and play golf, and I know you and I have played a few times over the last summer and stuff, you know, do you actually ever play by the letter of the rules outside of a competition at your club?
I don't think so, Bob. Like, I got to be honest with you. Like, unless it's a competition in the club or you know, we're playing a money match or something, and if that's the case, we'll probably declare, you know, hey, we'll play it this way. I can't remember, you know, like, put it this way, I am not driving back to a tee. I hit a lot of provisional balls and things of that nature, so I don't have to drive back to a tee. But if I hit what I think is a decent drive and in play in a good spot, get up there and can't find my ball, there's no way I'm driving back to a tee or walking back to a tee. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I guess the short answer is no.
I think most people are like that. I mean, if you take a mulligan or you take a gimme, I mean, those are not in the rule book, so you can do that. So it's interesting, but I think even still, I think these new rule changes are good for golf, and I think they will help. I think they'll help people enjoy the game a little bit more. I had a chance to talk last week with the guru of rules from the RNA, David Rickman, and here is our conversation about the proposed new rules.
Well, David Rickman of the RNA, new rules coming out, new changes to the rule code. This is a very significant step for all of golf. And maybe you could just walk us back to the start and give us the genesis of how the governing bodies decided it was time to do something about the rules.
Yes, well, we had the idea to tackle this back in April 2012, so nearly 5 years ago now. And really the concern is that over time, efforts to be precise, comprehensive and fair in successive editions of the rules actually end up with the rule book becoming pretty complicated, pretty technical, and that makes them both confusing for many golfers and therefore this was the time to make some changes.
Well, one of the challenges, as we've discussed, is trying to make rules that are applicable for the very best in the game and those who are just starting in the game. How big of a hurdle was that for the groups?
It is a big hurdle. In some ways, golf is different depending on your ability, but I think we feel strongly that it's one of the great strengths of this sport, that golfers can play on the same golf courses as the very best. We can make comparisons, no matter how bad they might be, with the very best. And therefore, to play by the same rules is an important part of that. So they do bring different pressures, perhaps. We need to make the rules simple and understandable, but at the same time, the outcomes have to be appropriate to survive the white heat of competitive play. So there's a lot going on there.
A lot of the rules seem to me, as a mid-handicap player, let's say, to be really about common sense, about, as you say, self-regulation and how is the best way to allow people to do that in the best circumstances. Was that a underlying theme of these changes?
Very much so. Trying to have simpler, more intuitive answers we think is important. That's not and should not be interpreted as giving the best answer that a golfer always wants, but to try and explain why the answer is what it is, to try and ensure that somebody, if they were looking at this independently, do they believe that that's an appropriate answer? So that's very much part of this work.
One of the big rules controversies of a year ago was Dustin Johnson at the United States Open. That is a rule that has changed significantly, isn't it now?
Yes, it is. And we've chosen to introduce a new local rule that is already in effect. So that is one of these changes that we've in effect accelerated because of the difficulties that rule was demonstrating, not just at the US Open, but obviously that was a major case and was part of our deliberations, but it was a repeating problem, and that for us is the big issue with rules. If something just keeps coming up as producing answers that we don't like, or perhaps being something that's very difficult to apply, so we've changed things immediately with regard to that particular case, but the ideas for 2019 go further than that, look to make further changes to make that whole area of the rules simpler and easier to understand.
Are there any rules, as an example, that you can provide to us that might show how the old has gone out and the new has come in to make things a little bit easier? Anything that stands out for you?
Well, we hope that the new dropping rules, which will be one of the most obvious examples of our thinking, will do just that. Current regulations, which everyone's very used to, dropping the ball from shoulder height. The trouble is it means that the ball can very often bounce somewhere else, and there are actually 9 different exceptions that reasons why a ball has to be redropped. The new regulations, which don't limit you in terms of height, you do have to drop the ball, has to fall through the air. You can drop it from effectively any height that you want. You're not allowed to have the ball touching anything while you do it, but you just have to drop the ball from probably a shorter height, and it has to now stay in that defined relief area. We think that is simple for people to understand. It will be quicker and easier in the vast majority of cases. And I think that's an example where, with looking at things in a different way, we can create a rule that is profoundly simpler.
Just to wrap up, these are all proposals still at this stage. Just maybe you could walk us through what happens from now until the rules get changed.
Yes, we're delighted to announce these proposals. There will be now a 6-month period of evaluation and feedback. RNA, USGA will have feedback provisions on their respective websites. We would encourage anybody interested to let us know what they think. We will then look to refine the proposals, finalize them, say, in the early part or mid-2018, and the idea is, all being well, these rules will come into effect 1st January 2019.
Exciting times.
They certainly are. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And there is David Rickman giving us, as best he can, he sounds like a rules guy, doesn't he? He's giving us an explanation of the rules. He does sound like a rules guy, doesn't he, Mark?
They all sound like that, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there would be lots of chance to comment, and you can go to the USGA or the RNA's website and post your comments and have your say. I know Mark's going to do that about the divots, so we'll talk about that. When we come back after the break, we're going to break down this beautiful leaderboard at the World Golf Championship Mexico and give you some sound from some of the leaders and hear their thoughts on playing at 7,800 feet in elevation. Wow, something else. When Golf Talk Canada comes back.
This segment of GTC presented by Acura was brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Weeks in studio, Zacchino on the road, which has been sort of a theme we've had this year so far. we're gonna get that going, change it around a little bit, though. I think we're both going to be on the road.
When you thought it was going to start to get normal, the new normal is you leave, too.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know, I just heard that ad for the cart, and there's a new one that just came out. I don't know if you saw it this week. Pretty cool. It's got GPS built right into it, and it's pretty neat. It's pretty neat. I'm gonna get a little more info on that in the next break and come back. You are covering the World Golf Championship event, and this was formerly, of course, the one that was held at Doral. It was the first one of the calendar year, and it moved to Mexico. Mexico Championship, it's now called, and it's got a great leaderboard. I mean, give me your impressions of what you see up here. This looks like a major.
Well, I got to say, Bob, it's by far the best leaderboard we've seen this year, hands down. You know, obviously Rory coming back off the injury could quite easily be at 11 or 12 under par. Yesterday, that might be the worst 65 I've ever seen a shot. Like, you know, he three-putt the first green for par, drove the par four. First hole, three putt for par. He missed a large bucket of putts inside 5 feet. He parred the gettable par five. He's sitting in front of the green in two on the edge walking out. So, you know, 65 should have been 62. But at the end of the day, you know, considering he's barely played golf, that's what a position to be in. Phil Mickelson continuing to play well. Just can't get the victory, but he's there again in a big event. Dustin Johnson, it's just... This is exactly what a World Golf Championship leaderboard is supposed to look like. It should be a fun weekend.
And there's a few international flags up there, which is good. I mean, I like the fact that they're playing in somewhere other than the United States. It is a World Golf Championship event, after all. And even though it's not that far away, it's Mexico City. But I mean, you've got a whole bunch. Thomas Peters is up there. John Rahm. Martin Keimer's up there. Matthew Fitzpatrick, Yust Lutton is there. I mean, there's Lee Westwood is hanging around. So Ricky Fowler's not too far back. It is pretty good. But I think the interesting focus has obviously got to be on Rory making his return off that injury and leading the tournament. Let's hear from Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, overall great. I mean, look, going out starting the day, I would have taken a 65. But you know, I had three. You know, I had a great chance on 16 for birdie, you know, three putt 17 and then miss from short range on 18. So, you know, I'm in a great position. I'm leading going into the weekend, but I feel like I could have been a few more ahead.
Let's go back to the 14th. This has got to be a good memory. 152 yards. Take a look at it. What'd you see from the fairway?
Yeah, this was nice. Wind was just sort of in off the left. I cut a little 9-iron in there, trying to take a bit of distance off it. I didn't quite know where it pitched. A little bit left of where I wanted it to, but... it was nice. It's always a bonus to hold shots like that. It's actually the second shot this year that I've held with that 9-iron, so it's been a good club for me.
The way you are, your attitude towards the game, whenever you tee it up and your resume proves it, you're here to win whenever you tee it up on the PGA Tour. What were your expectations, though, coming off of the long layoff coming into this week?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to approach this week with, not with low expectations, but just to see how it went, you know, just take each day as it came. And you know, through the first 2 days, I've played well. I'm in a good position. My body feels good, which is the most important thing, I think. And if I can continue to play the way I have, you know, I've got a great chance this week.
That's Rory McIlroy with Golf Channel's Steve Sands, and he is leading the tournament up by two. One of the guys chasing is Phil Mickelson, who, Mark, had an interesting development midway through his round. He brought the reliever in from the caddy pen. His brother Tim took over after Bones, Jim McKay, went down with the flu, the stomach virus that is just ravaging this this golf tournament. Henrik Stenson had to pull out. Apparently the caddy tent is full of Pepto-Bismol. A few guys sick down there, but Phil Mickelson looking good, don't you think?
Yeah, continuing to look good. And he enjoys the what's the best word I'm looking for? The awkwardness, the off balance nature of this golf course. It's quirky, this golf course, and it's an old school golf course. The altitude alone, highest altitude they've ever played in the history of the PGA Tour at 7,800 square feet, but it's 7,800 feet above sea level. And but it's more than just the altitude. This place is just quirky from start to finish, but it also opens up the door for imagination and creativity because of that quirkiness. And boy, that screams Phil Mickelson.
Well, you know, when you're playing at elevation like this, you have to make a lot of changes in your calculations on yardages and distances and clubs. And, of course, that means that you have to have a good caddy. But Phil yesterday had to bring his brother in after Bones went down with that flu bug. Let's talk to Phil Mickelson about the change in caddies.
We've done this hundreds of times. I don't think I've ever asked you while you're on the first page of the leaderboard about someone else. What was it like to play without your trusty caddy Bones on the back for the first time since Valderrama in 1999? And we have some video, I'm not sure you've seen, of Jim and you right there.
Well, he's irreplaceable. I mean, he's one of the best in the business. And he's so good at club selection, and here at altitude, that's where he's invaluable and so forth. But he's hurting. You know, it's a difficult course to walk because it is hilly. He had two knees done, but that's not the issue. He just hasn't been feeling well. So he's irreplaceable, and I love playing with him. I mean, we've had a phenomenal time. But on the positive side, I had a lot of fun with my brother. He's so fun to be around, and he did a great job today. He's a good player in his own right. He's a scratch player, understands the game, has caddied for many top players, and is Jon Rahm's manager, understands the nuances of the game, and came out and he did a phenomenal job. But when you also have guys like Scotty Vail, who works for Snedeker, and Greg, who works for Oosthuizen, and helping him out and making it easy, helping him with the pins, raking bunkers, and just so forth, it was a pretty easy transition.
I would imagine when you two were kids, there was a lot of ribbing going back and forth. What was it like on the golf course today, him legitimately working for you for about 4 hours?
Well, see, I love that. Yes, he does give me the needle, but I think that's so funny, and it keeps me relaxed. And the fact that he has a few stories on me that I wish he didn't. It can be challenging, but he's so fun to be around. He's one of the quality people that I know.
From a golf standpoint, you bring in Bones so much, and you guys talk so often on the golf course. Was there something perhaps not missing today from you, but did it seem different to you not being able to do that? Because like you and everybody else, you guys are all creatures of habit out there.
Well, my brother understands how to play the game at a high level and how to shoot low scores and when to go for it, when not to. And as a college golf coach for many years, he also understands smart strategy, strategic play, and smart plays. And so does Bone. So he was there if I needed to talk through some stuff. But for the most part, these greens are greens that I'm going to read on my own. Also, the irons, you really have to feel and get a sense for it. So you can't say, I like an 8 or I like a 9, because it could go such a different yardage. It's based on how you feel, how hard you're going to hit it, and all those nuances. And so of all places to have it happen, this is probably the easiest to transition. But Bones is invaluable. He's so good at what he does.
And there is Phil Mickelson talking about his 7-under and bringing in his brother, who I believe will be on the bag again today for him as Bones recovers from the flu. Also tied at 7-under, Justin Thomas, who talked about the fact that he didn't like his golf swing, Mark, and yet he's still like two off the lead.
This guy's classic. He shoots 69 in the opening round. He shoots 5-under yesterday. He's won three times this season already. And he says after round one, I wanted to throw up on myself. My swing's disgusting, worse than ever felt. And he shot 69. So I would love to have that feeling, Bob, where it's the worst I've ever felt. And I'm still, you know, 69 in the opening round, 67, and right there for his fourth win of the year. And what would certainly be the biggest win of his career if he was able to catch Rory or whoever the leader ends up being come the end of this one, if he walks away. And just a closing note there on Tim Mickelson as well, which is funny, is that wouldn't it be interesting if John Rahm got paired with Phil Mickelson at some point over the weekend? Because Tim Mickelson is John Rahm's agent now. So that would be hilarious to have your agent on your playing competitor's golf bet.
That would be funny. Double working there, that's for sure. As you mentioned, Justin Thomas, not all that thrilled with his golf game, but he is right there looking for another victory. And I know he's been quiet the last couple of weeks, but what a start to the season. Let's hear from Justin Thomas with your colleague Doug Bell.
Played pretty well today. You have to be pleased.
I did. I really got some really, really good work in on the range when I finished yesterday. And it was really, I've never been so disgusted in my life looking at my swing as I was when I finished my round yesterday. And I really put in some good work. And I felt great over the ball today. And I really hit it beautifully. I mean, to play the par fives one over and to shoot what I did is, I don't know how to look at it, but I'm definitely happy that I played well.
So you worked out the swing issues. So going to the weekend, you must have a lot of confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to know that, I mean, to bogey 15 and 16 is just absolutely terrible today. I mean, 16 is probably the easiest pin I've ever played in competition in my life, and 15 is probably the easiest hole. So, you know, I'm losing three shots at least to the field there. So to only be two back with that is huge.
Now, these greens are complicated. I think that'd be a good way to describe them. But you seemingly have them figured out. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I mean, I rolled it well the last couple of days. I mean, I definitely, you know, like on 16 there, I had a good putt. It just, when that ball bounces, there's nothing you can do about it. You know, these Poana, they get soft in the afternoon. They're going to get bumpy, but they're bumpy for everybody. So I just try to keep a positive mindset toward them and just try to hit as many greens as I can.
There's Justin Thomas, who is one of the hot golfers right now on the PGA Tour and certainly will be looked at to get a major this year, if not at Augusta, certainly the other three coming up. Dustin Johnson got his first major last year. He's a shot back of Justin Thomas at 6 under par. Very quickly, Mark, what do you like about Dustin and the way he's playing these days?
I think he's playing beautifully. I think he needs to clean up the putts inside 6-7 feet. That's where he struggled so far through 2 days. But these greens are Poana. They're bumpy. They're tricky. And I think he solved them a little bit on the back nine yesterday. He was just boring too much break on short putts. And yesterday on the back nine, he took straighter lines and hit some shorter putts with some more speed. And that's how you're going to make them on these greens. And I think that's the reason why you're seeing Mickelson with success. He's had just so much experience and success over the years on Poana that through 36 holes, he's been rock solid inside 7 feet for Phil, and that's big. So I think Dustin needs to putt the rest of the way like he did on the last nine yesterday.
Okay, here is Dustin Johnson with Doug Bell.
Hi, Dustin. You birdied three of the last four. And on a good note, it's got to give you a lot of confidence heading into the weekend.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I'm playing well. Yeah. I mean, I played well yesterday, too. I just, you know, really been, you know, struggling on the greens. I feel like I'm hitting good putts. It just, they're very difficult. I feel like someone's playing goalie up by the hole, and it's not going my way right now. But hopefully, you know, I can roll in a few more putts this weekend. But, you know, I feel like I'm hitting it great. I hit it really well yesterday. I missed a ton of putts, short ones, too. It's not like, you don't expect to make long ones out here, but you know, today I did make a couple, you know, 4 or 5 footers on the last few holes, and that's, you know, made some birdies.
Yeah, you and Austin were really working it. Some of those putts, man, you guys were working all angles.
Yeah, well, it's, I don't know. I feel like some putts I see it, and I think I got a red perfect, and I hit it, and it does exactly opposite of what I'm thinking. So, you know, I'd really, you know, just trying to get a good read and just go with it, you know, get a read and be confident and just stroke it there. But, you know, it's still difficult. I mean, I missed a 3-footer on 10 for birdie I had. I mean, it's not, you know, I don't miss putts like that usually. But, you know, it's a right edge putt, and it wiggled right and hit the right lip. And, you know, it's just how you miss them. But, you know, it's the same thing. Rory missed 3 short ones coming down the stretch. I mean, it's just, it's very difficult to get in the hole around here.
And you can hear the fans in the background yelling, "Marquee, marquee," for Mark Zucchino, who we will hear from when we come back after the break. We're gonna talk about who's hot, who's not, and who's underrated. That's the next segment. Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks will break that down for you when we come back on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Cold day in the home office here in Toronto, minus 19 with the wind chill, minus 11 on the thermometer itself, but we are still going to talk about some hot golfers. Hot, not, and underrated is this segment. And Mark, I just thought we would take a look as we're sort of at the point where you get to that first World Golf Championship event where you got a little bit of a demarcation line in the schedule. And it's interesting to take a look at some of the players who are playing well and some that aren't, and maybe some that are flying a little bit under the radar. Tell me who you think is a hot golfer and maybe one who's not so hot.
Well, you know, I'm going to go with Dustin Johnson, and it's a bit of an obvious one, Bob. You know, obviously he's the number one player in the world. He's already got a win this year. Now, there could have been, you know, you could have gone with four or five guys, maybe even six, or that have performed so well this year. The guys with multiple wins, Rory obviously playing immediately hot upon his return. So Jordan Spieth with the victories. There's so many guys you could go with. But Dustin, I think the World Golf Rankings actually have it right. He is right now the guy that even when he doesn't have his A game this week, you heard it in the interview. But here he is, three off the lead. So he's my hot. My good friend Bubba Watson, who is part of my favorite foursome right now, along with Mike Davis and Ian Poulter. I don't know who the fourth is there. There's an opening that I could throw in there, but Bubba.
Hopefully, it's not me.
No, it's not you. Never you, Bob.
Thank you.
One over par for this championship, but Bubba has not had a top 10 this season. He's 201st in scoring average on the PGA Tour. He's missed a large bucket of cuts, Bob. And his attitude's in the wrong spot.
How much of this do you think, and I don't mean to throw these guys under the bus, but how much do you think of that as that change of ball? He went to that Volvic golf ball, the colored golf ball. To me, that's a big, big step.
Could be a monster. You know, these guys, they're very particular about the ball they play, and it could be a huge factor. I don't know. I tell you right now, attitude-wise, he is not helping himself. He is walking around these golf courses angry and uninterested, and it's going to be, you know, if that attitude keeps going, it's going to be harder and harder to turn this around. And just quickly, underrated, I just focused really at this week. I was trying to think of somebody who's underrated overall. And, you know, there are a couple of different ways. But I've just kind of really discovered Andy Sullivan this week, who's three off the lead. He's won three times on the European Tour, obviously a Ryder Cup player as well. But, we forget about guys like that sometimes on this side of the pond. And he's so well-respected in Europe. And no one's at all surprised to see him on this leaderboard, this close to lead, with the exception of North American media.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of people sort of started to look at him at the Ryder Cup last year. But then when he's not on our television screens, when he's playing primarily a European Tour schedule, you kind of forget about him. You lose sight, and he is good. He's had a couple of runs and been close in some of the majors, the PGA Championship last year. I remember he did have a good run. So he's certainly a guy that's definitely underrated as far as this side of the continent is going anyway. My hot guy, I went a little bit of a different tack than you did, although I had Dustin Johnson written down until you told me you had Dustin Johnson, so I switched it up. And I went with Gary Woodland, who is playing really well. He hasn't got a win yet this year. He hasn't had a win in a few years, but his last five events, he's been in the top six in three of those. He's had a couple of good chances to win. He's moved up to seventh in the FedEx Cup, and he's gone from 49th at the official World Golf Rankings at the start of this year up to 30th. And I just like the way he's playing golf. He's got Brandon Little from Mike Weir's old caddy on the bag working with him now. And that relationship seems to be working out. And I think with his distance, I think there's just no way that he can't win before the season is out this year. So I got him pegged in. My not is a guy that I thought would have had a better start to the season, and that's Patrick Reed. You know, after last year's dramatics at the Ryder Cup, he sort of talked about how much confidence he had, how everything was just going right for him, and yet he's 72nd on the FedEx Cup list. He's fallen on the official world golf rankings. He's out of the top 10 for the first time in a little while, and he's only had one top 10 so far this year. I just thought he would have been more of a factor in a lot more tournaments coming up at the start of the year. And it is early still, but for Patrick Reed, I don't know. Would you classify it as a disappointment?
I'm shocked, Bob. You hit this one 100% on the head because, you know, after last year, the way that went down at the Ryder Cup, and he had a good year last year too, and overall, you know, people are starting to pencil him into that conversation as, well, maybe this is one of the better players, especially a 20-something that hasn't won a major. Like, maybe he should be on the radar as you're starting to get into that conversation, especially all the guys that took themselves off that list last year. Now we're looking for guys to add to best without a major. And, you know, his name started to come up after, you know, he's got, what, 5 professional victories already at his age, great performance at the Ryder Cup. Where has he gone? And we've played courses, Bob, already that he's had success at and has liked in his career so far.
Of course, he misses Doral, of course, obviously, which is where he played so well. Just very quickly, my underrated is Tommy Fleetwood. And if I told you that he was the leader in the race to Dubai, essentially the FedEx Cup of Europe, I think most people would be shocked. He's tied for 19th this week coming in, but he's a guy to look out for too. Tommy Fleetwood, he is playing well. We're gonna say goodbye to the national audience. For those of you listening in Toronto and Hamilton and online, there's 30 more minutes. And, of course, that means it's time for Winners, Weird, and What. And we will have that for you when we come back on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. The bonus 30, extra 30 minutes for those of you listening in Toronto and in Hamilton and online and on iHeartRadio, all sorts of places you can listen to this wonderful show. And before we get into Winners, Weird, and What, Mark, I have a burning question to ask you.
Yes, sir.
It's the opening day of the Brier. Who's going to win? Who's going to win the Brier? Because I know you're a curling aficionado.
I have no clue. The guy with the best broom, I have no idea.
Always go with Alberta. You can't go wrong.
Always go with Alberta? Okay, Alberta, Bob.
Okay, good.
All right.
Very good. The Brier, the Tim Hortons Brier, does get underway today, and it's across TSN for the next week. It's actually out in St. John's, Newfoundland, and the Brier and St. John's, that is going to be one heck of a party out there. You can watch curling all week here on TSN. All right, let's get back to golf and Winners, Weird, and What. And this week, Mark, you have the tee.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All right, Bob, my winner this week is Club de Golf Chapultepec. That's right. It's the tournament
pretty good
course this week. I know. I've struggled with it for 2 days of our broadcast.
I keep saying Chipotle. But
yes, that's what I was trying to think of. I go, what word can I think of so I don't screw this up? Chipotle was what came to mind. But I love playing at altitude. It's 7,800 feet above sea level. which translates to roughly 15%, which is unbelievable. You think 15%, that's a lot. Like, we're seeing seven irons fly over 220 yards. We're seeing Dustin Johnson drive the first hole to par four, 325. He knocked it on the green with a two iron. I know these guys are long, but this is crazy long. 15% is a lot, and it's fun to watch because this is already a quirky venue, and the fact that they need to come up with an additional calculation and trust the fact that, you know, this pitching wedge might actually go 180 yards. You know, that just that little bit of doubt makes it very interesting. The weird aspect of it for me is also going to be my weird. Now, it's a weird golf course, like I said. It's Palana greens. They're tricky. They're bumpy. There's not a lot of rough on this golf course, and it's interesting how the trees, as soon as you miss a fairway, the trees are almost immediately on top of you. There's 6,000 golf courses on the property. It looks like a golf course you would see maybe in Spain or on the European tour, where it just goes basically from fairway to trees. There's not much transitional rough. So it's a strange place. But what I find weird is the yardage of this golf course is about 7,300 yards. Now, 7,300 yards at 7,800 feet above sea level, you do the math on this, minus 15%, that's just over 6,200 yards. Now, Bob, if I had told you they're going to play a WGC championship on a golf course just over 6,200 yards, and the lead's only going to be 9 under par through 36 holes, you'd tell me I'm nuts, wouldn't you?
I tell you that a lot anyway, but yeah. But I must admit, what we were trying to do, or I was trying to do the math here this morning, and it's a very early because I was doing it on 7,800. I thought the yardage was 7,800. But when you break it down and you say 6,200 yards, I mean, that's like a pitch and putt.
Yeah, so I mean, and here we are at 9 under, and, you know, 7,800 wouldn't even be enough because that's going to settle in around 6,600, 6,700.
Yeah.
So for them to come up with a golf course yardage to actually get over the altitude, we'd be, you know, somewhere in the 8,500 yard range, which means Mike Davis built it. So anyway, my what this week is the what do we do if the tour went? Now, the tour goes back-to-back, as we've seen over the years. You know, they go, they stay 2 weeks in Asia. You know, they'll go Malaysia and then somewhere else. Or they'll go, so when they leave America, they tend to go back-to-back. They see it in Hawaii. When they leave the mainland, they go back-to-back weeks in Hawaii. What would we do if we went back-to-back weeks in Mexico? Or Mexico City, because these players and caddies, Bob, are dropping like flies right now. Henrik Stenson out with a stomach virus.
Don't drink the water.
Oh, my God. That's it. Do not drink the water. Bones went down yesterday. There's just too many cases to mention. In fact, Rory came very close to withdrawing. He was very sick and went to bed Thursday night for 14 hours.
Yeah, he hadn't eaten anything for 2 days when he teed off on in the opening round.
On the opening round. So if we were spending another week down at the WGC, this field that I believe began at 77 players, we might be whittled down to about 24 guys if we stayed one more week in Mexico.
Last guy standing gets the trophy and the check. that's it.
All right, Bob.
And some Kea Pectate. All right, the tee is mine.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
All right, Mark, my winner this week is a gentleman who I've known for a long time. He is from Montreal, and this week, along with Judy Darling Evans of Quebec, this guy got the nod into the Canadian Golf Hall of Fame, and that's master craftsman Bob Vokey, who is the wedge master to the stars. He's been crafting fine wedges for Titleist for umpteen thousand years. He's a proud Canadian, and this is long overdue. I'm glad that Bob got in. He also got in the Quebec Golf Hall of Fame in the same year, so big year for Bob Vokey. He's in his mid to late 70s, and he is still working hard, and he walks up and down the range. It's interesting to see him. Every guy knows him. Every guy wants to talk to him. Every guy wants to have him look at his wedges. And it's one reason why there are so many players who are under contract with different companies but will still carry Vokey wedges. They really do a good job. And Bob has been just a wonderful guy. And I'm just so happy to see him go into the Canadian Golf Hall of Fame and get some recognition here as a proud Canadian, because I think a lot of people don't, A, know that there is a guy named Bob Vokey. There's actually a Vokey behind the Vokey wedges. And, B, that he happens to be Canadian.
Bob, I was shocked, or I am shocked, at how often I bump into people who love golf, like hardcore golf fans who are Canadian, that have no clue that Bob Vokey is a Canadian. Yeah. I would, you know, it's surprisingly. And now they'll know for sure, which is great. It's overdue. It's well-deserved. There's about, 10 names, 12 names max maybe in the world of equipment that carry that kind of weight. You know, the Roger Clevelands, total bicep with the Iron Master now with right. TaylorMade, who's been a few places. There's some of them that are out there, and Bob Volke is near or at the top of that list. And I'm with you. Congratulations, Bob.
My weird this week is takes us to the world of pop music, and I don't know if you're a big Ed Sheeran fan, but or a big just Bieber fan, but these two guys were out drinking together in Japan. I should point out Justin Bieber doesn't actually drink, so he was drinking water. Ed Sheeran was not. Ed Sheeran was drinking a lot. They're both golfers, and I guess the talk turned to golf. Out from this bar, dive bar in Japan, they went over to a golf course. Bieber lay down on the ground. He put a tee in his mouth, put a golf ball on the tee, and told Ed Sheeran, hit the ball. Now, Ed Sheeran had a whole bunch of drinks. I don't think this is probably the wisest move. Not something I would do. I don't know if you would do it. You might do it. But anyway, Ed Sheeran took a swing, caught it a little fat, and caught Justin Bieber in the jaw and broke his jaw. He says, I cracked Justin Bieber right in the cheek with a golf club, and that was one of those what the F moments, he said. So
I got two things for you, Bob. A, I can't believe that Bieber's that much of a jerk and he does it sober, that he's actually not drinking. Yeah, that's my first thing. And I'm not a huge Bieber fan, but all of a sudden, I love Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Bieber is quite a golfer, actually. He used to play quite a lot back in his hometown up in Stratford, Ontario. He's a regular there, and he does play on tour. Apparently, a lot of times he'll go out somewhere, and they'll rent the entire golf course out, and the crew will all go out and play golf. My what this week is Michelle Wee. What is she doing? Look at that. She's leading the golf tournament. We're going to get into the leaderboard in the next segment with the producer Adam Scully here, but for the first time since 2014, she's opened up with two rounds in the 60s. She is back to the conventional style of putting. She doesn't have that leaned over, vertical drop kind of putting style. And look at that. She's got a two-shot lead over Lydia Ko. They are playing at the HSBC Women's Championship in Singapore. I think it's interesting to see, and maybe Michelle Wee, the rumors of her death are greatly exaggerated, as was once said. So maybe she's back, but I think that's pretty good to see Michelle Wee on the leaderboard and at the top of the leaderboard.
I would love to see her hold on, Bob. I think it's great, and I think I always feel bad for Michelle Wee, because I think for the majority of her first half of her career, it's a prime example of just the wrong people at the steering wheel getting in this young girl's way, putting her in a position to fail instead of a position to win. And then the second half of her career, her just kind of taking the baton and getting in her own way. So maybe this is just her getting out of her way and going and playing golf. And the conventional putting maybe is a good sign of that.
She's got new Callaway gear in her bag. She was, of course, a Nike person. She still is wearing lots of Nike clothing. And she is still one of the biggest names in women's golf, even though she hasn't won for 1,000 years and hasn't really performed all that well for 1,000 years. But there she is on top of the leaderboard. And speaking of leaderboards, Mark, when we come back, we will look at the leaderboards from around the world, including the tournament you're covering. We'll go over to Europe and take a look around. We'll also bring Adam Scully in, and we have a special announcement for Adam Scully that he doesn't know about yet. I'm going to all that and more when we come back on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Our last segment here, we brought producer Adam Scully into the studio. He's sitting beside me here, and Mark Sacchino is sitting somewhere in Washington, D.C., or perhaps at you're sitting like on the Lincoln Memorial or something, or do you go out for a walk around?
I'm in the Oval Office, and I have a muzzle, and I'm just kind of hovering in just waiting. But.
Bring that muzzle home with you. We can use that here. So listen, we were negligent last weekend, Mark. You and I, we dropped the ball because producer Adam Scully had the big birthday.
I did.
The big 2-5. Look at that. He's lasted a quarter of a century, even though a lot of people didn't think he'd get there.
I've got about 7 gray hairs now, and the hairline's receding, and the back sore. So it's been a good birthday.
That's pretty good. You had some celebrations I saw on Facebook pages.
And, I did.
Yeah, that's good. You're still living and breathing here. And we're going to go over the leaderboards. We sort of went over the World Golf Championship event. Rory is leading by 2. Phil Mickelson, Ross Fisher, Justin Thomas at 7-under. Andy Sullivan, Daniel Berger, Dustin Johnson, at 6-under. And then a slew of guys following up. Mackenzie Hughes, a couple of 70s. Pretty good golf. He is tied for 27th. Interesting stat on his first round. He hit a drive. His longest drive was measured at 339 yards, Mark, and that tied him for 74th.
Yep. That is
that
hilarious.
Amazing?
And you know what? I'm going to take this approach, regardless of what he shoots. And he's playing fine. He's there. I think he's like tied 27th or 28th, yep, or something along, mm-hmm, those lines. Yeah. Isn't it nice to have a Canadian in a World Golf Championship event and walk and move to the Masters? So, how many big events last year did we have without Canadian flags? So
yeah,
good for Mackenzie to be there.
Far too many, and far too many. And we got two in the Masters right now, including Mackenzie, and perhaps we can get another one or two, mm-hmm, maybe before we get there. European Tour is at the Tshwane Open, which is in Pretoria. Mm-hmm. That's the South African golf course, and they're underway right now, and the leader is Scott Jameson and Alexander Bjork. I don't know if he's related to Bjork, the musician. They're both at 13 under. Dean Burmester is at 12 under, along with George Campillo. We have a guy who works here, Kurt Burmester.
We do, yes. I wonder if he's related.
Any relation to him? of course, most of the big name guys are away playing in the World Golf Championship. Peter Uihlein is on there, and Gregory Havre from France is on there. Mm-hmm. So there's a few, a few names. And then let's go to the LPGA Tour. And
yeah,
we said Michelle Wee, Adam Scully. Michelle Wee, do you think she can win?
Well, it looks like her putting, at least for now, is somewhat under control. But she, you know, we've seen her do the tabletop putting and so many different kinds of putting. The crazy thing about her, Bob, and so you look back to her U.S. Open major win in 2014. At Pinehurst. Martin Kaymer also won 2014 at Pinehurst. That's the last time either of them have won a tournament. So that's kind of crazy to think,
wow,
that she's leading on the LPGA Tour. Martin Kaymer's 4 back at the WGC. Maybe this week is there, or maybe this weekend they're just tied together again.
Maybe the planets are aligning. That's right. although there's a good group chasing Michelle Wee. Lydia Ko is just 2 back. Seung-Hyun Park, Arya Jatanagarn is at 12 under par. Shenzhen Fang is at 9 under. But you go down to T11, Brooke Henderson, 67, mm-hmm, 70, 71. She's playing a little bit better than she has lately. And then way down at the bottom, not enjoying her time at the HSB Champions, is Elena Sharp. She is tied for 61st, 75, 74, 74. So not necessarily a great performance for Elena this week. But they do this event, and then they start to get back over here on the mainland, and we'll get back onto regular time zones and things and golf courses that they're a little more familiar with. Mm. Adam, you said you had a hot nut.
I do.
Underrated. Let me hear it. Bring
okay,
it on.
So my hot, John Rahm. You know, the guy, he won the Farmers Insurance Open. Some,
yep,
solid finishes at Waste Management and Pebble. Just 4 off the lead this week. He hits the ball a mile. And when that putter gets hot, like we saw when he won, the guy can do big things. So he's my hot right now. Not Brooks Koepka.
Mm.
A lot of things expected from this year. Made the Ryder Cup team last year. His last 4 starts. Miscut, miscut, T42, miscut, and last week a snap driver in half.
Wow.
Because he, you know, it was in his second hole of his second round. He hit a drive didn't like it, and stepped on the shaft. And
oh, like this was a mad break. It wasn't just like a snap from a swing.
Oh yeah, it was anger. And so he's been disappointing, but who knows? You know, golf is a crazy game.
And you're underrated.
And underrated Thomas Peters. Four yes. back this week.
Like that guy.
Second at Genesis a couple weeks ago. He's a guy. He's going to be impressive all year, I think, for sure.
It's interesting, though. He says, you know, he's still not going to play. He's basically earned enough money to get a temporary special membership, and he's still not going to play. Over here, he's going to keep a full schedule over on the European Tour, which is starting to be a little bit more common now than before. Wouldn't you agree, Mark?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, and I think, you know, a lot of that is, I think Keith Cully reaching out to players and telling them that there are changes coming. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be interesting to see moving forward as they continue to alter the rules, too, on tours of who can qualify for what teams and who, how you can keep your cards. This is going to be an ongoing story. Just to pick up on what Scully was saying a little earlier there with Wee and Keimer mm-hmm. winning in 14. You want to know what's even more shocking? Keimer and Wee have won more recently than Phil Mickelson.
Yes,
think of all the great golf Phil Mickelson has played over the last few years, the duel last year with Henrik Stenson at the Open Championship. We got to go back to 2013 to find Phil's win. That's almost a full year earlier mm-hmm. than Martin Keimer and Michelle Wee. That's scary when you look at it in those terms.
It's interesting that you think of Phil, he's always been on the radar, whereas those other two have kind of disappeared from the radar, especially the big Wheezy. She's actually playing on a sponsor exemption this week. She doesn't even have status in this tournament, so that's how far she's fallen off the list.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay, let's just as we're wrapping up here, Mark, give me a winner for Mexico.
Yeah, two quick things before we go. I'm going to give you a winner. I'm going to think Rory's going to win. I'll take the guy at the top of the leaderboard. If Rory doesn't win, even though my heart's with Phil, I think it's DJ who catches him, although I'd love to see Phil. And just a quick note, we'll get into this more next week. Our friends at Cedar Brae Golf Club wanted me to pass along, Bob. They just unveiled a new membership program. They've discounted their initiation down to $7,500. They're given 5 years to pay it interest-free at $7,500.
Wow.
And there's only 20 spots left. So give them a shout. Go to the website. If you're in the East End, anywhere in that East End, Northeast area of the city, and you're thinking about a private golf club, Cedar Brae, always been a five-star golf course. Now the clubhouse to match. I don't know if you're going to do better than $7,500 at 0% for 5 years.
Yeah. That's a pretty good deal. Okay, winner, Scully?
The power of brotherly love. I'm going Phil getting his first win since the Open in 2013. Hopefully Bones gets better soon, but if Tim Mickelson stays in the bag, I think they're going to win it.
All right, I'm going with Justin Thomas.
Nice.
I think he's got the swing figured out.
Mm-hmm.
And why not pile on, just add another win and pad that bank account even further. You can watch, of course, World Golf Championship. You can listen to it. Mark Sacchino down there with Manning Command Central with XM Sirius Radio. If you're in the car, you can listen to him and the gang call the action. And won't be too long before we're back on television with Golf Talk Canada. We've got Golf Talk Canada coming back at you next week. And I think, are you going to be in the house here, Mark?
Is it next week? No, it's 2 weeks, boys.
No. Are you going to be? Are you
second?
Yeah. No, but are you going to be back in the house here for?
Yeah.
For radio.
I am in studio with you next Saturday, and then I'm on the road one more time at the Arnold Palmer. Then we're back in studio for TV, and then you and I are on the road together for the Masters. So
there we go.
Perfect.
It's a busy time. Golf season is burgeoning. Although you wouldn't know it if you stepped outside today. It's minus 19. Stay warm, everybody out there, and we'll talk to you next week right here on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca.